Welcome to Hungry in Nashville. May I take your order?
Congratulations. You've been setting money aside, and you're thinking about buying a franchise restaurant and being your own boss. It's exciting stuff. Today, we're going to talk about franchises, how to get started, what it'll cost you, and how much money you can make. So first off, let's define the difference between a franchise and a chain. Chains are restaurants that are owned by one company. It may have restaurants all over the place, but they're all owned by one entity. Take Waffle House. It has about 2,500 locations in 25 states, but it's a chain. Franchises are where individual stores are owned by those who buy franchises and agree to follow the franchisor's rules. One of the most well-known franchises is McDonald's. About 82% of their stores are owned by franchisees, and the company's goal is to expand that to 95%. If you want to buy a franchise, one of your first steps are disclosure documents that say what a franchisee's responsibilities are and what the franchisor will provide. On our website, hungryinnashville.com, we have a link where you can look at some of those agreements. It's not light reading. They often run 600 pages or more. Fear not. Today's guest will walk us through it.
John W. Lewis. We're here at Lewis Thomason, the law firm. I'm special counsel here now and have been practicing law in private practice for about 40 years.
Franchisors are very picky about what they want from their franchisees. That's because the franchisor will take a cut of the sales. So if you don't do well, they don't do well. Likewise, you have a better chance of succeeding if you buy an established brand and are trained in how to make it work.
When Colonel Sanders first started Kentucky Fried Chicken, he was really selling the 11 herbs and spices and the name Kentucky Fried Chicken and little else. He didn't have a storefront. He didn't really have anything other than the taste and the name, and he'd sell it to any meat and three there was. Usually try to be the best in the city. And then eventually he realized by standardizing the look and the logo and then ultimately his likeness in a white suit, he had a brand. And so he was able to franchise a brand.
One of the issues is where do you get your food? Most franchisors have approved vendors from which you may buy. You can find your own vendors, but they have to be approved by the franchisor first. Then there are franchises where all food must be bought from the franchisor's commissary. If you work hard and follow the franchisor's rules, you can be successful and make good money, but you must control your costs.
If you have a concept where you have wait staff, family dining, fine dining, then you have to pay salaries and for the managers and for the wait staff and for all that's involved, maybe laundry. If you have a quick service restaurant, which we call QSR, and you're working via kiosk or just people behind the counter, it's a different matrix. So fine dining or family dining, labor costs may be in the 30% range. Food costs in either case should be in the range of 25 to 35. This is my expertise coming out over the years. So you can see you've got between around 60 to 65% is going to be those two costs. If you're in a space, you got occupancy. If your occupancy is any more than 6 or 7%, that's a pretty big number. So you can see how you begin to whittle things down. And obviously, you don't want to whittle it down where you're making no money. So it's just projection. You just have to, it's a mathematical process. The higher the volume, the higher the sales, the better return on investment is going to be. But if cash flow is less than 10%, because that's pre-paying the bank, you really need to think about it. That could be, unless you can really grow the business or grow sales and get that cash flow up a little bit, all you're doing is paying the bank and paying the landlord.
Oh, and you're going to have to pay another 3% to the franchisor for advertising costs. So let's do the numbers on what it takes to become a franchisee. We gathered some of those disclosure documents to find out what the requirements are. We're going to talk about the locally originated Gigi's Cupcakes, McDonald's, Wendy's, and Subway. Gigi's is now owned by another firm based in Texas. If you want to open a Gigi's, you're going to need $237,000 to $428,000 according to the 2017 documents. You'll pay 5% to the company, 2.5% of gross volume for marketing, and 3% for local marketing. Then there are the fees for transfer of the franchise location and a $35,000 fee for renewing your agreement after 10 years. Oh, and if you lose the confidential manuals, you'll have to pony up $1,000 for replacements. Now let's turn to Mickey D's. You'll need from $1,058,000 to $2.2 million to join the club. Then you'll pay 4% of gross sales. You'll pay rent because McDonald's will own the real estate under your store. Plan also to pay at least 4% of gross sales for marketing, the cost of an annual audit, and lots of other things, including regular payments for the point of sale system. Okay, now let's take a look at Wendy's. Expect an initial cost of $2 million to $3.7 million, and at that rate, McDonald's is a bargain. You'll pay 4% of gross sales and another 4% for local and national advertising. And like McDonald's, you'll pay an ongoing fee for the point of sale system. Lastly, we turn to Subway. You can't blink without seeing a Subway shop, so let's look at what it costs. You'll need $150,000 to $329,000 to get your shop up and going, and you'll pay sublease fees to the company because they'll own the space. You can buy or lease the needed equipment from Subway, including the point of sale system. The royalty fee is 8% of gross, plus another 4.5% for advertising. Subway has lots of other programs that franchisees may participate in, such as stores on college campuses, military bases, kiosks, and more. Each of those extensions has its own rules and fees.
So I'll give you a situation of someone who wanted to be a franchisee. It's Jack Hawthorne that has Jack's here. He's been a friend of mine for 50 years. And Jack decided, you know what, I'll develop my own brand, and I will be my own brand. Don't want a franchise, but I want to be able to develop restaurants in the city, which he's done. And it's through really hard work, knowing his brand, which he has a brand, and being very careful about where he's located his restaurants, and having just the highest quality food. And he's just done just a marvelous job here in Nashville. And then on the franchise side, again, I think it's a Denny's franchisee of mine in California that started with five restaurants and just basically made sure that he had perfected the Denny's system in each one of those five restaurants. And then he felt like, based on about 6 or 7 years and knew everything about it, that he was ready to expand. And he went into Arizona, and he went into Utah, Salt Lake City, and now he has 35 restaurants. It's because of the foundation and time and effort he spent in learning those first five restaurants. That's the biggest mistake you can make, is try to grow. I don't care if you're a franchisor or a franchisee, until you know your product, whatever it is, your hotel, your restaurant, your transportation model, to you know that and every possible thing that could happen, for you to start expanding doesn't work, because you'll hit a bump that you never anticipated. And remember what I said? Then you run out of cash. Then you got a problem.
There are lots of ways for things to go south for a franchisee, the most common of which is to run out of money. One great way for that to happen is for the franchisor to require that you remodel your store. Under the franchise agreement, You may have no choice or you lose your franchise and all the money you've put into it. It's unlikely the franchisor will require a remodel if they don't think they can make money by doing so. If you're the franchisee, you have to trust that the franchisor is right, because if they're wrong, you won't get the anticipated return on your investment. If you doubt that, ask McDonald's franchisees. After going through a recent remodeling, a group of franchisees said up to 40% of them stood to lose their franchises if those sales don't materialize. McDonald's disputes that and says that franchisees won't be at risk. McDonald's also has skin in the game as it pays 55% of the remodeling costs. So yes, franchising can be scary, but it also can be a way for you to make your fortune.
I mean, I've worked with lots of different brands, have seen lots of different successes, seen some failures, and just appreciate the entrepreneurial spirit of the franchisees. The other thing about franchising, which I think is good, is that it allows a lot of diversity in franchising. And so first, second, third generation of people that have come to the United States oftentimes are extremely successful, have their families involved, both in the hotel business and the restaurant business. And you like seeing that because it provides an opportunity for someone who is using the brand that is out there. And maybe it's a brand that it's not like how they grew up, how they ate, but they adapt to it and just do a great job with it.
Hungry in Nashville is brought to you by Out of My Pocket Productions and is copyrighted 2019 by me, Jim Grinstead. You can listen to Hungry in Nashville on our website, hungryinnashville.com, on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. Our music is by Kevin MacLeod. Thanks for listening, and may you eat well.